Greetings. I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Today we have as our guest Robin Lewis, who is Director for Climate Equity for Interfaith Power and Light of Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. And Robin's here today to talk to us about the various things that Interfaith Power and Light is doing to make things fairer in this area, which is really necessary. So, Robin, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. So we focus in the Maryland, D.C., and Northern Virginia area, so what we call the DMV. So it's Interfaith Power and Light, DMV, for those folks who live in the DMV area.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit about Interfaith Power and Light, the history and all that?
Sure. So Interfaith Power and Light is a national organization. However, there are affiliates around the country, and we're the D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia affiliate. We've been around for over a decade responding to climate change as a religious issue. That's our focus. So,
And so the mission is really to help the climate by energizing the faith community, huh?
Absolutely. Our focus is on educating the faith community, helping the faith community go green, helping the faith community learn and do other things like go solar, do planting on their property. We have so many things that we can do to help the climate and reduce climate change. So that is our mission. Our mission is to help various faith communities move in the direction of, a lower carbon footprint.
Yeah, and I guess doing that, you're probably working with a lot of different congregations, huh?
Yes, we're interfaith, as our title says, and we work with any faith community. We work with Christians, with Muslims, with Buddhists, with Hindu. It doesn't matter, with the Jewish community, we work with all of them. Because we all are concerned about the planet and about God's earth. So that's what our focus is.
Okay, great. Now, could you give us some contact information, please?
Sure. So let me give you a little history of my background.
Please.
Yeah, so I worked for years and years in technology and, as a project manager, climbing the corporate ladder. And then after a while, things just weren't satisfying for me. I started looking at the environment, and I started trying to figure out what is it God would have me do. So all of a sudden, the company that I worked for dissolved. So I had to do something different. So I went back to school to get a graduate degree in sustainable urban planning with a focus on climate change. Why? I don't know. Something struck me, one may say. The Holy Spirit struck me and said, well, look, this is what I want you to do. So I ended up focusing on people who were actually marginalized in this whole climate change issue. Those people who in urban planning were being displaced or didn't have housing or ended up being pushed out when revitalization came through. So that was my thesis. That's what I studied. Started to study other aspects of climate change like air quality, water quality. Ended up working for various nonprofits. Fighting against fracking, fighting against an incinerator that was about to be put in Prince George's County, but they decided not to do it. I fought in Baltimore as well against the various issues around your incinerator that's in Baltimore as well as other issues.
Yeah.
Started kind of focusing on the marginalized, those people who didn't have a voice at the table. And that's where, I ended up.
Yeah, well, that's much needed because the environmental movement at its start, it was mostly an upper middle class thing, upper middle class college students. And it's, you know, that's not enough to change things. That's not enough to address these, you know, these issues of inequality, which are just interwoven in everything.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that, because in my work, I find still a lot of remnants of people perceiving that as being an issue for, you know, wealthy, you know, it just doesn't seem to be an issue that a lot of poor folks, black folks, people of color, you know, they didn't relate to it in the same way. And we could talk more about that, but bottom line is, it's all our issue, and everybody's doing something about it. They just may not call it the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I found as I studied more and more.
Yeah. Talk about your work at IPL, if I can call it that.
Yeah, you sure can.
What do you specifically do?
Good question. Joelle reached out to me in the fall and said, you know, I've got this position. We're about to move into looking more at environmental justice and climate justice and climate equity, and I can explain a little more about that. But what basically my focus is educating mostly predominantly black churches in Maryland on not just about environmental justice and climate justice and how it impacts communities of color, but also helping them with focusing on advocacy for environmental legislation as well. So, you know, we know there's power in the church and in faith communities. We know that there's power in the political system when we have people of different faiths advocating for a particular policy or for a particular thing that helps communities that are suffering.
Right.
So
right.
My objective is to mobilize as much as I can faith communities to speak out and speak up for the communities that they serve.
Which means you meet with a lot of folks.
I sure do. So my initial response to this position is, like everybody else, I want to do my research and my homework. I belong to Beloved Community Church, UCC, and so I'm already involved on the UCC side with various types of, you know, social justice, environmental justice things. So now what I do is I interview and meet with various pastors, various clergy around the state to find out what's going on in their church. What are they doing in response to climate change? What are they doing to help the community with regard to the environment? And environment is bigger than just, you know, the trees, the grass, the air. It includes the built environment, which includes housing, which includes where they live, what, you know, electricity, their jobs, you know, all of that is environment for people. So I talk to them and find out what their church is doing and give them more information and try to get them to share their work, what they're doing. And if they aren't doing anything, try to help them start green teams or, you know, other things.
Let me ask you, what's been the reception?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Bill, because I know a lot of people in the faith community, because I've been doing this, I'd say, for the last, I don't know, 6-7 years in the faith space. So I do know a lot of pastors and clergy. So those that I know, they usually call me back because they know what I'm calling about. They know that I'm talking about. Those that I don't know, the reception, once I explain the magnitude of what is going on, who is suffering, and why we need to be there to advocate to help them, they get it. They get it.
Good.
It just, the issue is these pastors have so many things on their plate. So to get a piece of their mind share sometimes is difficult because they're dealing with, you know, day-to-day problems.
And they've got a scarce amount of time.
The reception's good. It's just slow.
It's a dilemma because climate change is something that needs a lot more effort than just the governments trying to get large polluters, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of things that we can do as individuals on a day-to-day basis that not only address what we can do in climate change, but also try to make it a little fairer, right?
Well, and so let me just briefly mention something that is important. With regard to what we call environmental justice versus climate justice. So Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was in 1968, before he died, he was assassinated. He was going to march with the sanitation workers in Memphis. He did not do that because he got killed, but his wife and other ministers kept that going. So it started, the environmental justice movement started then, and it blossomed, and then in the 90s, the United Church of Christ commissioned a study and with various ministers, commissioned a study, and, you know, at that point they determined that race was connected to toxic waste. So it started, the movement started then. There were principles, 17 principles of environmental justice. That's when it started. It started with pollutants and toxicity and things like that. It evolved to include other things like climate change, because climate change has been happening, and unfortunately, climate change impacts poor people the most, and people of color, because a lot of times they will live near water. They will be, there will be a lot of flash floods, there other things, and they can't afford to fix up their property necessarily, or the government doesn't have the money to come through and fix up their community. They tend to suffer from that climate change, from the flash flooding, as well as heat, because, you know, we all know, and in Baltimore in particular, you know, there are these heat islands. So because there's not enough green, you know, greenery, not enough trees. So all of this stuff relates to the disparity that happens when it comes to these ills in the society. So that's kind of the history of it. And that's why I focused on it, because I noticed the poor, they're the ones who get left behind.
Amen.
You know, so we as Christians, that, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure people don't get left behind.
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, Robin, we're running out of time. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Absolutely. So you can reach Interfaith Power and Light at this website, www.ipldmv.org. Our number is 202-709-7641. And my email personally is Robin, R-O-B-I-N, at ipldmv.org.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. And I know that you are a font of information and help for anybody that is interested in these subjects and wants to get involved. And folks should give you a call because you are the expert. I'll tell you.
Yes. And Bill, can I just add one more thing? One exciting thing that happened in Maryland. Most exciting thing that just happened in the legislative session in Maryland was Climate Solutions Now just passed the House and the Senate in Maryland, and that bill is going to help reduce emissions in the next 20 years. To, you know, help with climate change and to reduce various other aspects of making our vehicles more green or more electric, and also changing some of the building emissions by requiring some of the buildings to be go electric. So
that's wonderful.
To say that.
That's wonderful. I want you to come back, Robin, and we'll talk more about that, okay?
Okay. All righty.
Okay. Unfortunately, though, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Robin Lewis, who is Director for Climate Equity for Interfaith Power and Light, Delaware, Maryland, and Northern Virginia for being our guest today. Thank you, Robin.
And thank you for inviting me.
And, well, you're welcome. And keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you. Thank you.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.